Come on and put your hands together for the King of Kings up in this house. Put your hands together for the Lord of Lords. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of the glory. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Ancient of Days. That's who He is. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. God, I worship You. I worship You, God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I worship. Mashiach HaMashiach, God. Thank You, Jesus. God, I bless You. I bless You in this house. Woo! Yahoo! Yeah! 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 He's here! He's here! He's here! He's here! He's here! We come to bless Him. We come to magnify Him. We come to worship Him. He's here! He's here! Woo! My God, Jesus, God, I worship You. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Wow. Yes. Yes. If you know that you know that He is. If you know, if you really know He's the way maker. If you really know He's light and darkness. If you know He's the great I am. Put your hands together up in this house and let's magnify the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. God, I worship You. God, I worship You. God, I worship You. Whatever you need, it's in this atmosphere. God, I worship You. Oh, God, I worship You. Woo! Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You, God, I worship You. Thank You, Jesus. Amazing grace. Amazing. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Let me just thank God for the grace that's in this house. Yeah. Now, y'all missed that. Lord, I want to thank God for the grace that rests upon the man of God in this house, the bishop elect. There is a grace that is resting upon this house and upon the man of God in this house. And I just want to bless the Lord for it. One that He will exhort you. He will encourage you. He will love you. And He will rebuke you without hesitation and without apologies. I'm free. I'm free. That's the grace that's in this house. And I'm grateful that God, through Him, counted me worthy to stand before you this morning. And I greet each of you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I greet you this morning. And with that, Father, I just honor Your presence in this place. I honor the power of Your anointing in this place. Father, that You will be so mindful of us this morning just to visit us with Your glory, with Your power, with Your anointing. Father, I am thankful. I am honored Now, Father, I ask that, that your word that you have given unto me, let it go forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside or inside force in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, according to your word, let miracles, wonders, and signs be the evidence that you have been, thank you, that you have been in this house today. If you believe that with me, put your hands together and give him praise one more time. Give him praise one more time. Ah, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's amazing when you ask God that everything that's not of you didn't come from you. Just let it go. Earrings went first. Paper flying everywhere. But he's still good. Just hold your place. He's still good. Don't matter. I know who I am. I want to continue this morning in the series of the secret place. The secret place. There is a secret place in God. How many of you believe that? How many of you really know that? And while this place is secret, it is yet a place where every individual and every person has access to, if they so choose. And that's one of the things that I love about coming to Christ and serving God and doing the work of the kingdom. It's all a choice. And now that many of us have made him or have made the choice to make him our Lord and Savior and Jesus Christ, I come to remind you that there is still work on our part that must be done. Are you with me? Yeah. There is work that must be done in order to maintain our salvation. Most of us come to Christ, come to church, participate in a function every now and then, and that's it. My God. And if I can use this as an analogy to bring this home a little bit clear, it's like buying a car. Now that you have purchased the car, there is still responsibilities that comes with the purchase to make sure that the car continues to serve you well. Am I right about it? In that we must do the required maintenance checks. You see, it's more than just putting gas into the car, putting air into the tires, and then putting the key into the ignition, and you're on your way. For there will come a time when we must make an appointment and take that car to the specialist. For there are things now required of you and from you that you cannot fix and you cannot do. Much like our spiritual lives. After our confession in Christ, there will come a time where what's happening to us or against us, we cannot fix and we cannot do anything about it. Therefore, you and I must now go to the specialist. Are you with me? And what I love about the specialists of our spiritual lives is that we don't need an appointment. For the Bible tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And you see, in this verse, he says, I've given you open access. You don't need to have an appointment to come to me. Jesus, God. Oh, God, I worship you. I've given you open access. So you can come to me. And you can go to the elders. And you can go to the bishops, the bishop of this house. But God is saying this morning, you can come straight in for yourself. You don't need anybody to pave the way to go before you. He's given you open access. And see, what I have experienced about going to any of the three, including myself, is that you would tell us what you want us to hear. And even after 30 minutes, you still ain't told us yet. But with him, you can tell him the whole truth and nothing but. And can I take this a little further? He won't tell nobody. For this specialist has a non-gossip confidentiality policy. And you can rest assured that whatever you take to him will stay with him. Can I get an amen on that? You see, you can take your truth, that is the whole truth, to the truth. For he said that I am the way, the truth, and the light. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what's upon you, no matter how bad you messed it up, there is an open invitation that he says, come unto me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says that, for he who cometh to me must believe that I am a rewarder of those that diligently, meaning persistently, seek after me. There is some rewards in coming to this specialist. Are you with me? And this is just some of the perks that comes with this specialist maintenance program. But the problem remains is this. Is that you're not coming to him. We choose, and we have made the choice, to go to those that will only offer us limited warranty or guaranteed coverage up to 60,000 miles or 30 days, same as cash. But coming to this specialist in the secret place is unlimited warranty and a lifetime guarantee. Jesus God. No matter what happens to you, how it happens, when it happens, who done it to you, he guarantees that he got you covered from the front end to the back end. For his word declares, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Unlimited warranty. Jesus, my God, it's your choice. So this morning I asked the question, can I take you to the secret place? I just want to take you to the secret place in God, not from God. There is a secret place. For the psalmist said in Psalms 91, he said, he, that means every individual, every person. He said, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means that he's got you under his care, under his protection. Nothing can get to you. Nothing can harass you. Nothing can vex you, because you're under the mighty hands of the Lord God Almighty. Oh God, I worship you. And then he goes on to say that I will say of the Lord, You don't have to say this. I'm going to say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my strong tower. He is my fortress. This is the God in whom I will trust. Again, can I ask you the question? Can I take you to the secret place this morning? God, I worship you. Oh God, He's the God that everything I need to know, everything I need to be, and everything I need to see is in the secret place of the Most High God. Are you with me? Oh God, you ready for this? All that was good, but that's not what I want to talk about this morning. Because when I was doing this study, it was interesting to note that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there were many who went to the secret place to be alone with God. I was amazed from Genesis to Revelation, the numerous of people that made a choice to be alone with God in the secret place. And just as in the Bible, we as believers, it is not required, just required of us to go to this place. It has been commanded for us to go to this place. This really messed me up. And if time permits, I will share just some that went to the secret place just to be alone with God. But for this occasion, go with me please to Matthew. Before you put it up on the screen, I'm going to go to Matthew 6. And surprising enough, the Holy Spirit landed me at this particular chapter. And I was amazed. And I know that I have some Bible readers in here, those and some that really study the Bibles, and like myself, I eat the Bible to live. I have to live by eating this word. I don't read it for leisure or for pleasure. In order for me to live, I have to eat this word. For the word said, it's life unto my flesh and health unto all of my bones. Everything you need, Holy Spirit, I feel your presence, is in this word. And it was amazing to me that when I looked at the chapter, sixth chapter of Matthew, and in this entire chapter, it's Jesus that is speaking. And in this chapter, when you challenge me after service on this and go back and read it, you will discover in this chapter that Jesus gives three secrets. The whole chapter is about the secrets. The first one being the secret that He gives us to giving. There is a secret in our giving. Then He gives the second secret, which is the secret of praying. And finally, it's the secret of fasting. You will find all three of those in chapter 6. But I only want to talk about just one this morning, and that's the secret of praying. So if you will go with me to the fifth verse of that chapter. I want to start at the fifth verse. And it reads as this. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. We don't have those in this house, so don't even worry about that. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their rewards. Praying to be seen, using the eloquent words, getting in prestigious positions to make sure that they are being seen by men. And Jesus declares that they will have their reward. Are you with me? In verse 6, it says, but you, say that's me. That's me, Say that's me. That's me. When you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in secret, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. My God. Notice he said in verse 6, but you, when you pray, it wasn't a question of praying. It wasn't an option of praying. He says, when you pray. And what I love just about this sixth verse alone, and what I hope to leave you with this morning, is that this verse tells us, and be able to tell you, where is this place that he's talking about? What we must do to get to this place, and the benefits of being there. It's in the secret place. It's not an option. It's not a question. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for debate. He said, when you pray. And if you will look very carefully, because this is what really captivated me, and I really had to, Minister Brian, act this out. Because one of my desires and one of my requests is, when I'm reading the word, I ask the Holy Spirit to take me to the scene. I want to be right there. I want to see so that I can understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me in this particular verse, or in any verse that I'm reading. And with this verse, I allow the Holy Spirit, Minister Cooper, to take me there. I was shocked. I was rebuked. I was corrected. I weep. I wept. I got to do it for you again, because I see you didn't even see this. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, I want to stop right there. I went, Minister Dave, I acted this out, into my prayer room. And as I entered the door, he says, once you enter in the door, he said, shut the door. Well, I'm still in the doorway, but I've entered the room. He said, once you have entered in, I got to come all the way in, and then I have to reach back and shut the door. I said, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? And I went back and I did this over and over again. He says, I said, you enter into the room. And once you enter in, then shut the door. Long story short, I couldn't shut the door once I entered in until I got myself out the way. I had to come all the way in, reach back, and shut the door. And once I got in and got the revelation, I just dropped. I dropped. Yes, I wept. And I said, oh my God, we're coming in. We're just coming in, but we're really not in, because the door is not shut, not shut. What are you saying? He says, here, I don't need for you to come in with your agendas. with your preconceived ideas of how you think I'm going to fix this. I don't need for you to bring with you behind this shut door your laundry list of who has done me wrong kind of love song. All I need for you is for you to enter in. And once you get in, shut the door on what you think, what you feel that it should be, could be, and how it could be. I need for you to get yourself out the way and allow yourself to enter in to this door. I said, God, when I did that, I said, oh my God, we're so busy. And let me take ownership. Let me just say this because let me take ownership of this. We're so busy entering in and we already have our mind made up of what we're going to ask God for, how we're going to ask of God for, and what he's going to do and how he's going to do it and when he's going to do it. We have not even shut the door. We have not even shut the door. And I looked at this and I said, okay, God, I've entered in. I'm inside the door. The door is now shut. Then I fell. Remember, I told you I was already down. I was down. He said, you don't have nothing to say once you enter in. I'm the Father who sees in secret and will reward you in secret. And what happened to me, and this is realized, at that moment, he took me even where we are as a body of believers, frontier, going from 30 to 40. He said, let them know that 40 minutes doesn't mean that they just babbling, vain babbling, and repetitions. Because if you never prayed for 15 minutes, 40 minutes, you're going to be going over the same thing over and over and over and over again. He said, let them know that when they enter in, when they have shut the door, allow me to commune with them. Allow me to give them my agenda. Allow me to show them what's to come and when it's going to come and how it's going to come. Can they ask them, can they just be still in my presence and allow my spirit to speak through them? And I said, oh my God, my God. He said, remind them of this. He said, I have given them. Once they have confessed me as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I have given them my spirit. I've placed my spirit on the inside of them. The Holy Spirit, which is called the Paracletus, which come alongside you and show you what to do, where to go, and how to do it. Do you not know that the Holy Spirit will warn you of things to come? Do you not know that the Holy Spirit will warn you of danger? And then we go, because we don't know any better until today, we go and say, something told me. Let me help you as believers out. That something is the Holy Spirit. It's got a name. It's the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord told you that. To get your place behind on the right track. He's not a something. He's a person of the Holy Spirit that comes alongside you and warn you of things to come. You may not know what's going to happen, but you know something is getting ready to happen. Why? Because the spirit that lives on the inside of you has warned you. Yeah. Jesus, God, I worship you. I thank you, God. He will warn you of things to come. He's that one that you'll be able to say, God, nothing is wrong, but something just ain't right. You ever had those moments before? You couldn't put your finger on it. Nothing was wrong, but something just wasn't right. And if you hold on for a little while, God will reveal it to you. And when he revealed it, we want to act cuckoo for cocoa cup. We want to get shocked. We want to get freaked out about it. But what you need to do is thank God, because he warned you before it happened. You just did not know what was going to happen, but you knew that it was going to happen. Oh, God, I worship you. That wasn't even on my notes. But I trust him to lead me. And then being in that secret place, shutting the door and allowing him to minister to you, I found out that I'm really without words in the secret place. Because in that place, it takes me anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes to get me out the way. You know how you go to pray and your mind everywhere? You're thinking about who did it, how they did it, what's going to happen, what time they got to go do this, who's going to call, what's going to... But you're in the secret place, though. And your mind is wondering. And if you stay there too long in that place, then you start yawning. Just got up and you start yawning. Oh, the devil know how to rock you to sleep in the midst of being in a secret place. So it takes you about, takes me about 30 minutes just to get myself out the way. And let me help some of you all out, because if you're going into the secret place with your cell phone, it is not secret. If you're going into the secret place, putting it on vibrate, it is not secret. That is not secret. You're prostituting out the anointing of God by sharing what he's getting ready to give you with somebody else. And it's not secret. Turn the cell phone off, shut the door, and go into the secret place and hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to you. And if you're really in that place with him, the Spirit of the Lord will tell you who's about to call. Has that ever happened to anybody? But you've been in the secret place, who's about to call? And you already know what they want. But when you ask them, they say this favorite phrase, all is well, liar. You know it. You know, they won't tell the truth. But because I've been in the secret place, I already know. So either you're going to get to the point or you're going to get the dial tone. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's your, that's just me. This is how I do. That's how I roll. It's okay. Yeah. You do it. But God warns you of that in the secret place. He warns you. And with that, when we go into the secret place, and if we do it any other way, you ever went in there and had the clock going to time yourself? Can I get some people to tell the truth here? Amen. Thank you. Because you want to make sure that you adhere to the 30 minutes. And now it's 40 minutes. So you set the clock to make sure. And then as soon as that clock go off, no matter where you are in that prayer, it's like, I'm done. Thank you. Thank you, baby girl. Thank you for telling the truth. Thank you. And here's what the Lord's saying. Tell them that they are done, but I never got started. After 40 minutes, he haven't even got started yet. But you're so busy waiting for that alarm to go off. So you can say, I done it. Where was your heart? Where was your heart when you were doing it? What was the motive? Did you do it for man? Or did you do it because the man of God said to do it? It's a question you have to ask yourself. Because even though we may not know your motives, but God knows your motives. He knows them. And he will make you rise up to what you just spoke. Yeah, and he will expose you in the midst of that. So God says, you say I'm done, but I never got started. The Bible tells us in Psalms 90, I know you want some of this. The Bible tells us, I need you to keep going. It's the ministers that helped me out right here. The Bible tells us in Psalms 95, 2, it tells us how to come into the presence of the Lord. It says, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. If you're starting out going into the presence of God, begging and pleading and wishing and hoping, that's not what he asked for. You're in direct violation of his word. In direct violations. He said, it's in Psalms. You might want to write this down so you can put the devil in check. It's in Psalms 95. Verse 2, he says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And this is something that I try to do, or have been instructed to do by the Holy Spirit each Sunday morning during corporate prayer. I must begin by exalting the name of Jesus, thanking him for who he is, reminding him of how awesome he is, and what a privilege we have just to bless his name, just to bring honor to him. This is what he's looking for, to appreciate him. And many of us have children. And the Lord had me to look at it like this. He says, what if that child, you just work really hard, You get out of your car, you come into the house, or you attempt to come into the house, and they run into you and say, "Mommy," they don't really say that, they say, "Mama." "Mommy, mommy, mommy, can I have a dollar? Mommy, can I go to the movies? Mama, I needed this." And mama never spoke. Never asked mom how was her day. Never asked mom, could I open the door for her? Our Father is the same way. He's the same way. When we come into his presence, he said, "I just need for you to bless my name. I need for you to lift me up. I need for you to appreciate my goodness and my mercy that I have shown towards you." And I find out, Minister Brian, that when I'm here on Sunday mornings, because usually my Sunday starts on a Thursday, when I begin to really tune in to the voice of the Lord, for him to prepare me for what he will give me to release to his people, I just shut it down because I want to be clear as to what he's saying. And when we have reached that place in praise and thanksgiving in him, usually, most of the time, he would say, "Now, release the word that I have given to you." And this one time that it happened a couple weeks ago, when I was up here in corporate prayer, and the Lord had given me three different things, and I did not know which one of the three that God was going to allow me to release. But I was ready for whichever way he wanted me to go. And at the end of service, corporate service, the service, I'm driving home. And I said, "God, I've been awake for days. You gave this to me. You gave this to me. But you did not allow me to release it. And I just want to know why." You guys know you can go to him and ask, right? And I said, "God, I want to know why you did not allow me to release this." I heard nothing on the 45-minute drive, legally 45-minute drive. And just as I got ready to pull into the driveway, he says, "They didn't give me what was due to me." He said, "My spirit searched, was monitoring the hearts of the people. And some was there out of obligation and duty. Only a few was there because they came looking for me and expecting me." And he said, "I just don't give my word to those that will not appreciate all that I am to them, all that I have been to them, and all that they are believing me to do." He says, my request of them is so simple. He says, "All I ask is of them to open up their mouths and just to worship me, just to magnify me, just to honor me, just to give me the glory that is due unto my name." He said, "That's all I'm asking you for." He said, again, go back to the child. He said, when the child behaviors are honorable in the parent's sight, that child can get almost anything he or she wants. But when that child is misbehaving, what he could or could get, the parent withholds, withdraws. Even though it's all theirs from the beginning, they withhold because they're looking for something from that child, as God is looking from us, that he has already given to us. And all we got to do is lift up our hands and bless the name of the Lord. That's all we got to do. And magnify him and tell him who he is in your life and exalt him and brag on him and how awesome he is and how magnificent he is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Alpha and Omega. That's who he is. Oh my God, that's who he is. He said, "That's all I'm asking for." He said, "I inhabit the praise of my people." I'm looking for the praise in my people. He said, that's all I'm looking. I'm not asking for a whole lot. I don't even want their money. If they give me the praise, they will have so much money, they won't know what to do with it. All I need is for them to bless my holy name, to reverence me, to acknowledge me, that if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, that's all I'm looking for. That's all I'm looking for. Thank you, Jesus. And I said, God, I get it. I get it, God. He said, the price has already been paid. It's been paid. It's been paid. And they can't even take what has been brought for them. Freely, I have given to them. Freely. Oh, God, I worship you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that is why when I come to church, I'm not interested in your conversations. I'm looking for something. I'm expecting something. I've been in prayer all week. I need an answer from God. I need the revelation from God. I need the manifestation. I need to know what to do. I need to know where to go. I need to know who to say it to. I need to know. So I'm not looking for a conversation, because as I told one of the elders, you had all week to call me. I'm not looking for that on a Sunday morning. I'm looking for Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. That's who I'm looking for. That's who I'm looking for. That's who I'm expecting. He said, because if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with your whole heart, I'm not wasting my time throughout the week seeking Jesus and come here on Sunday mornings and cannot find him. He's in this place. He's in this secret place. And I come to worship him. Jesus, God, I worship you. In the place, and let me tell you how important. Thank you. Oh God, I see you. Let me tell you. Thank you, Jesus. Just give me a minute. Give me a minute, and let me just worship. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Who is God? That he would send his angels in the presence of this mist. It's a glorious sight to behold. Thank you, Jesus. And this is why I take my service to God so seriously. I don't take it for granted, because I know that he's watching. He's waiting. And he's ready to reveal who he is in the mist. I'm going to show you just how important of being in the midst he is. The Bible says in Psalm 73:17, for you ministers of music, this is a song that was written by Asaph. And if you are musically inclined, you would know who Asaph is. And the Lord took me to this as one of the importance of being in the secret place. Asaph, just a quick overview. Asaph, the writer of the song, was having a mind-boggling moment. He was trying to figure out and understand why certain things were happening to some people and why it wasn't happening for the other people. He couldn't understand that. So he puts it this way in verse 17. He says, when I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Meaning that every time he looked at the situation, he could barely see it. It was so painful for him to even look upon it. And then he says this. He says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Did y'all see that? He was dealing with something, going through something, witnessed something, something that was so painful for him, he could not even try to understand. And I believe that in all of his resolutions to try to figure this thing out or to understand why God was allowing this to happen, Asaph said, you know what? Let me just go into the sanctuary. No, I don't feel like going. I don't even want to be there. I don't even feel like praying, but I can't even deal with what's on me. So you know what? I'm just going to go into the sanctuary. And when Asaph went into the sanctuary, he heard something. He saw something that said, you know what? Just like them, they will have their time with God. But in the meantime, I'm going to let God be God and every man a liar. I got the opportunity now that no matter what's going on in my life or around my life, I know that he's in control. And I know that there is no problem too hard for him to solve. But see, he didn't know that until he got into the atmosphere. Until he began to be in the presence of the Lord, and everything that was on him just melted in the presence of the Lord. He began to look at that problem in the light of God and not in the light of man. He began to look at the sickness in the light of God, not in the light of man. He was looking at who is after him now that he's in the sanctuary in the light of God, because he's in the presence. Let me tell y'all something. There is something about being in the sanctuary, especially when you don't feel like it, when you think that nobody understands what you're going through, when you think that nobody sees you, when you think that nobody cares. It's when you come into the sanctuary, once you get here, all you got to know is that Jesus sees me in the secret place. He cares about me, and I know that his thing is going to work out for my good and for his glory, because I'm in the secret place of the Most High God. And I want to encourage you, the benefits of being in the secret place. There's fullness of joy. If the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength, I just come to remind you, because many of you know, the enemy's job is to bring whatever he can to steal your joy. And yet he says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And then he goes on to say, at my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's one of the benefits that you will find in the secret place of being in the presence. He also said that in my presence, yokes are destroyed. But it's in the presence. You can't be a spectator in the presence of God. You've got to be a participator in the presence of God. You've got to be. He says, in his presence, there's clarity. There's clarity. In other words, you no longer have to try to figure things out. My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave unto you. It's in his presence. In my presence, he says, all your fear is gone. Doubt is removed. That you thought that you could not do is done. It's done. It's done. And it's done in the presence of the Lord. And if we really, really believe God, and I'm waiting on this to happen in this service, that whatever sickness or disease that is upon us, that there and you and I will be able to say, that when I left the house of God, what I came there with is no longer on me, because I was in the presence of the Lord. in his presence, you're looking for an answer, he will give answers in his presence. He will give new assignments in his presence. And I have biblical proof to back all of these up that I'm sharing with you this morning. And that's what messed me up from the Old Testament to the New Testament. There's revelation in his presence. There's wisdom. Because what you thought you were about to do when you left church or when you leave church, by being in his presence, it really doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't matter anymore. Because everybody, I believe this, because I once was like this. As soon as church is over, I'm going to get with him. Anybody ever been like that? Oh, let me break it on down for you. Because they're looking at me like I'm crazy. Anybody ever been in church that had an agenda when they left church to take care of some business and it wasn't God business when you left church? Thank you. Thank you for being real. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. But when you leave church, it's like, you know what? It doesn't even matter. Because just like I went into the presence and shut the door, then I've got to learn how, by being in his presence, to shut my mouth. And that's something we as believers haven't learned to do. And I'm a believer that if God can change anybody, somebody like me, in his presence, by fire, oh, somebody grieving me, can change somebody like me. I just had a flashback. Let me come back. Whew. Can change somebody like me. I know for a fact there's nothing too hard for God to do. And one of the change, Minister Dave, that God continuously to deal with me was, keep your mouth shut. That's like having, it's a difference when God said, he didn't say close the door. He said shut the door. And for me, he says, it's like somebody coming to you and saying, be quiet. You don't hear that. But the minute they say, shut up, it gets your attention. It gets your attention. And I'm here to say this morning that a lot of our prayers are being hindered because they already answered. Can I tell you that? They already answered. But they are being hindered by what's coming out of our mouth. We pray one thing and speak another thing. And you forgot that you just came out of the secret place. And you forgot what you said that you wanted God to do. And the minute you come out, you start hoping and wishing that God would do it. But you already declared, decreed that it is already done. Be mindful of the words that come out of your mouth. Every word that you speak is being monitored. And not only the words, but the thoughts as well. I shared with Minister Yolanda this weekend, and I had said to her, I had went to work Saturday. No, it was Friday. And I said, God, I said now to myself, in myself, I said, it would be nice if I could just get off a couple hours early so I can just relax and just be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. Never spoken out, never said it out loud. I just said it within myself and just got out of my car, went to work that day. And before day's end, one of the boss came and he says, Mandy, I was looking for you. I couldn't find you. I said, well, hey, dude, I'm right here. Because it's about time for me to get off. So what new assignment are you finna throw down when I'm getting ready to exit the door? I'm just smiling. And I said, I'm right here. He said, hey, listen. He said, you know, he says, we got a new assignment. And it's got to be done by 10 o'clock in the morning. But you don't get here to 10. He said, could you come in at 8 o'clock? And I said, oh, man, I almost kissed your feet. He said, what did you say? I said, oh, nothing. I said, sure, I'll be here. I said, I almost kissed his feet. Because here, my thoughts. God heard my thoughts. Amen. Do you understand? And this, and God showed me how important it was for me. He was looking for me. Amen. So I say that and I share that with you to let you know what you're thinking. And that's why the Bible says, think on things that are good, that are lovely, that are just, that are pure, that are holy, that are righteous, that is of a good report. And if there be any virtue in these, think on these things. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't tell anybody. She just said to herself, if I could just touch. That was the thought. Look how powerful that thought was. Our prayers are being hindered by what we're saying. And what we're speaking out of our mouths. And what gets me as believers. One believer to the other. One of you got to rise up and shut it down. Amen. Somebody has to be big enough to rise up and shut it down. Amen. Amen. God, I worship you. And so with that, I'm going to leave you with that. But I also want to give you just one of the 8 examples of how of an individual who we already know about numerous of times, countless of times, went to the mountains to pray, went to the wilderness to pray. Why? To get alone, to be with the Father. And as a result, some of the greatest miracles followed him being alone with his Father. Some of the greatest revelation was given. You missing the revelation? Get alone with the Father was given to him. That's how important it is. You don't need a crowd. You don't need a crowd to go into the secret place. Can I tell y'all that? You don't need a crowd to tell you who you are. You should already know that. Because here's the thing that I discovered just 1 week ago today. That same crowd that follows you, that tells you that you're this and you're that, and to make you feel good when the deal goes down. Say it again. And here's the thing. They leave you. But here's the thing. They were right there with you. And Jesus said to me, and I asked the Lord about this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to put it out there public. As I said, it happened to me a week ago. Everybody in that room was in the same place, worshiping and experiencing the presence of God. And when the deal went down, Brother Minister Brian, not even you, came to my defense. Do you remember that? Nobody. It was silent. Do you understand? And I looked at them and I said, God, I go to God. I said, God, they were in the same place I was in. They were worshiping you. They were lifting their hands. And then when my feet was at the fire, nobody backed me up. Nobody spoke on my behalf. Nobody. And Jesus said to me, Linda, he said, daughter, they did it to me before they did it to you. Get over it and move on. They all forsook him. All of them forsook him. So who are you? God knows how to put you in a place all by yourself. And yet he said to me these words. He said, yet I want you to even love them greater. Amen. Amen. Is it coming back to you now? Greater love than this. Than no man. The one who gave his life for us. And we won't even give time for each other. But he gave us his time. Stand to your feet. Put your hands together for the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah.